This is a HeadGum Original.
Ooh! Are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're gonna do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the US. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings. If you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Oh my effing Lord. Praise it be. It is the day of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everyone knows that. We all went to Catholic school. I'm praising my God, my one and only, my Mother Mary, my divine, the beautiful Betsy Sidaro.
Oh, bless you.
Betsy, I don't know if you know this, but you know that you're on Drag Her, the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast, available on the fucking internet.
Wait, I am?
Yes, you fool.
Oh, man, I thought we were just talking and hanging out.
No, no, no. But bless
you. I know, I'm excited. Blessed be.
Let's pray.
It's my favorite day of the week, a Sunday. You know, I never have anxiety on Sundays.
What is that?
I really love the Sunday.
I get it, but what is that? Let us pray.
Pray.
In the name of the heels, the makeup, and the Trinity that took Tyler.
That's the Holy Trinity. I want to. Trinity K. Bonet, Trinity the Tuck.
Children! Oh my God. Which Trinity? How do we pick?
That's tough, man.
That's tough.
I love both Trinities so much.
I do love it. I will say, I can't remember where I heard this.
Uh-oh.
That someone was like, Trinity was like, how did you pick your name, Trinity the Tuck Taylor? She's like, The Matrix. And then
cool. Isn't that the lady's name in it?
Yes.
That is so funny.
It is a very funny reason for that to be your drag name. Like, I don't know. I saw The Matrix and it was kind of cool.
I saw The Matrix and like, it kind of sucked. But no, well, if you're listening to good, this, the second two are bonkers, weird.
Trash. But get ready for a fourth. Look, if you're listening to this, we don't know if the lovely, gorgeous Dita Ritz was planning to join us. She had some scheduling conflicts, and she may be joining us. She may not. But
it might. Yeah, we're going to. We don't know. That's the beauty of life, man.
Dude,
like
you know,
Forrest Gump said, you never know what you're going to get when you get a box of chocolates.
And guess what? That's the game within a game. That's the game within a game.
It's a Forrest Gump.
If Dita shows up. Yes, if Dita shows up, she has to do her best Forrest Gump impersonation.
Done. She doesn't know that yet.
But she'll be going up against you. And
uh-oh.
If you win the game, then the game changes.
Oh.
Then it becomes a lip sync for the crown. And that's not what you think it might be. Because
right.
There's a game within that game.
There's a game within the lip sync for the crown game. Because
yes.
That's a lip sync to get a guest spot on the Netflix show, The Crown.
Yes.
You have
but
to
once
lip
you're on
sync.
Set,
yeah, but once you're on set, they're like, who are you? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And that's when the game gets interesting.
And that's when it gets interesting.
If you refuse to leave set, you have won that game. Now.
Yeah. So you, but there's another game of you. When you do refuse to leave the set, there's another game.
That's right. You'll be taken to the craft table. And if you can stomach every shitty snack on the table and keep it in your gullet for 10 minutes,
right.
You've won the game.
Then you have won the game.
But not so fast.
But not so fast. Not so fast.
Don't be fast.
Don't be fast. That's how you win the game, is not being fast.
See, I'm really glad you're here. I love you. But also, you have a really excellent skill set to talk about. You love Drag Race, and you are a voiceover actor. So you dude, you're kind of killing it. You're on a million different things. You're on like a million kids show. You're on Duncanville.
Right.
What
right.
am I missing? I'm missing other things.
There's a bunch of stuff.
So I'm really excited to hear your insights and how much you love drag tops. Something tells me you love drag tots.
I do have a pitch on drag tots. Make
burn
them
it down. No.
I was gonna say make them little tater tots.
Okay, already better. Already better. Okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah, you're fired up. You were texting me about drag tots.
I think it's really bad. I'm just gonna. There's just a lot of times I'm a little bit more PC. I'm a little bit more sensitive. But Drag Tots is really
Drag
God.
Tots got you really mad.
It fired me up. I think it's goddamn train wreck. I think it's horrible. And I really think there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Like, you know what I mean?
I didn't have any real react. I was just kind of like, oh, weird. This is a thing? Wish they were tater tots. But then you were texting her. I was like, whoa, okay, all right, here we go.
I'll say it again. It's for nobody. It's like not good enough to be a good kids show. You know, it's not a good kids show. And it's not funny enough to be like a good adult animation show. It's for nobody.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's my whole thing. I'm just going to be honest. I really don't like it. And I think it's a waste of time in All Stars to make us cross promote this goofy, messy, poorly animated show. And I'm sorry. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Your microphone's on fire, man.
So Pandora went home on the Snatch Game.
Oh, I know.
Bummer.
Pandora. I love Pandora so much. And it was the whole season was like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's
come
fun.
On. Like, it was that the whole time. I'm like, you got this.
Yeah.
You got this. Okay. I get it.
Exactly.
It's gotta be crazy pressure.
It's stressful.
It's stressful, man.
It's strange pressure. It's also probably just strange pressure to have to do the best drag of your life in the middle of the pandemic.
Dude.
That's kind of strange, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Game Within a Game is here.
Ooh, the Ritz happening.
Put on the Ritz. Category is cheesecake. Because we have the one and only Miss Dita Ritz. Dita, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
What's up?
Hi, how are you?
Stunning, gorgeous, amazing. We're so happy to have you.
Happy to be here.
What a gag. You have been, I have to say, me and Betsy have been roommates for 10 years. We fell in love with you on season 4. Ooh. I mean, truly have been obsessed with you. We rewatch your lip syncs just to feel something.
Ah, yes.
So thank you for joining us and sharing your drag knowledge.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. That really means a lot. And right now, especially with everything going on, you know, I've been very public about, which I'm sure we'll get into, but I've been very public about my feelings of Drag Race recently, because I've kept a lot of those feelings bottled up for so many years. And it wasn't until 2020 where, like, I started letting it out. And so right now I feel I have like this weird, I don't know, personally, I just have a weird energy when it comes to Drag Race. And so I appreciate whenever I meet people and they give me that credit and they say that I inspired them from season 4 or the lip sync, you know, it really does mean a lot. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you're amazing.
Oh, seriously.
And you're fun. I mean, you're so talented. You're so funny. I mean, I'm also remembering how much you fucking slayed that acting challenge in the jail cell.
Yes.
What was that like? it was fun. I mean, I was in front of Max Muchnick, which was pretty cool because he's the creator of Will and Grace. So I thought that was really cool. And hey, Max, I'm still waiting for that audition for a couple weeks ago, because he told me I have the talent to be on any sitcom show. So I'm waiting, which been doing auditions lately. I've been getting offers to like just do auditions and submit tapes. And so I have been doing that, but it was fun. I mean, I'm a theater kid. I grew up in the theater and, you know, I did plays. And if I didn't do the plays, I was behind the scenes, like in the wardrobe team or, you know, learning how to do tech and production and all that. So I grew up in theater. So acting for me it's not something I do often, but it's not hard for me to tap into because I like acting. It's fun.
Yeah. And that's what it felt like. It was just like, oh, you were having fun. And that makes such a difference.
That was probably the funnest challenge to me being there. I liked other challenges. Like I liked the float their boat challenge we did. I thought it was pretty iconic.
Yeah.
But my favorite was the acting. And it also was like a really great to redeem myself after having to lip sync, because that is not a great feeling. Although people loved the lip sync, for me at the time, that lip sync took me a minute to really understand like the magic of like what lip syncs really do bring to the fandom of the show. So
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That has to be such a wild feeling of having to lip sync, but then truly destroying and being like, see, I'm good. Like that's
right? Yeah.
Such a wild, I don't, that's gotta be crazy to feel.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I like I said, that word comes up a lot with me now, the lip sync assassin. That's always been there, but it's so heavy right now.
It's all
I see online, and it's a little overwhelming. Even when I think about it right now, but I appreciate it.
You've been really vocal about your feelings. Do you care to expound about like how your feelings, how your relationship has evolved? I know you've been pretty active of like, I would like to be on the show, and I feel like I have an amazing career. Can you expound on that?
Yeah, I mean, everything you just said. I mean, you know, yeah. I'm almost 20 years into this game, and I think it's interesting that there are girls who, you know, they do drag for like a year, and then they get on Drag Race, and then they're able to like be called legends and icons. And there's nothing against that. Don't get me wrong. I don't have any, you know. But I feel like back in my day, back when I first started, it was about paying your dues. And it was about like, you know, like, I don't know. There's just such a ass backwards thing going on with drag right now. And I just am not happy with it. And I just have been vocal about a lot of things. You know, I've been quiet for years. You know, I've ignored a lot of things. I don't like the way I was treated with World of Wonder in Drag Race. I don't like the way that even behind the scenes, you know, when you run into certain people, they, you know, it's obvious that they play favoritism. And my thing is this, like, I can understand if I was a nightmare, because there are some Drag Race girls who are nightmares. And yet they get all of the blessings, you know, they get to work and do all types of cool stuff. And yet I be over here just minding my business, working, you know, in my costumes and my bills, like, you know, really being a self-sufficient queen, and I get ragged on for it. And, you know, there's not a chat, you know, every day it seems I wake up and my DMs are, you know, they're flooded with love, but then also like there is just like hate, you know, people are still like coming for me about dry wigs when, you know, like from season 4. And it's like, girl, like, do you even bother to check in and see what I'm giving or what I'm doing? And I don't even wear, you know, like, or, you know, it's just a lot. It's a lot.
And it is a lot.
Right. And right now is, and I think that was like part of it, you know, like you and I have been having a long conversation about me coming on here. And I think mm-hmm. I said to you in the DM, I said, I want to be able to come on here and talk to you and not be triggered because mm-hmm. I mean, I think you can hear it in my voice. I'm just extremely, I'm just dumbfounded with the way that Drag Race has treated me because yeah. I'm talented and I'm not trying to say that any of the other girls aren't talented. It's just, mm-hmm. it's very interesting because it's very noticeable. And I just feel like it's like an elephant in the room. Maybe no. And I also feel like sometimes I question, am I worthy enough for the fans to really fight for me? Because I feel like they will fight for a Trixie Mattel. They will fight for Katya. They will fight for mm-hmm. Valentina. They will mm-hmm. fight for the white girls or the white mm-hmm. passing girls or the white mm-hmm. accepting girls. Uh-huh. But they, you know, I question that sometimes with me, like, and it's hard. It may, you know, in entertainment, you do that. Like, it just makes you wonder, like, you know, like,
yeah, 100%. The fandom, look, period. The fandom's crazy, period. The fandom's racist, period. Mm-hmm. Production plays favorites, period. Like, you're 100% right on that. And I think you are, and you're bringing up a really good point of like, there's this strange thing where, like, the show, okay, here's my opinion. The show, like, almost belongs to the internet now. And that affects production's choices in some negative ways when they're like, well, the internet's losing their fucking mind over this one queen. Mm-hmm. So we will do what the internet tells us to do.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. And that's fine. I mean, go ahead and do that. But honey, I'm talented. So I yeah. need my coins too. And mm-hmm. I think my frustration I have with Drag Race and World of Wonder is that what they, I don't think they realize is that the public is seeing how y'all treat us. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that when the public sees that you have, how y'all have treated me, you have a lip sync assassin spot and you don't give me that chance to even come back and do that. Or you have not given me a chance to be on, you know, All-Stars, or you don't even give me a chance to be a part of Work the World or the Drag Race live shows, things I'm very capable of doing. Mm-hmm. I think that they don't understand that when you guys don't give other opportunities to us, the public sees that. And then mm-hmm. what happens is the public thinks it's okay to disrespect someone like me because I'm not endorsed or lifted up by the show. Uh-huh. And then what that does is that trickles down into my every day of working. So when I am planning my show, when I'm planning shows and traveling gigs, you know, I have to argue 10 times harder to be paid just even fair. Or I have to make sure that, you know, you're paying for the airfare, you're paying for my car mm-hmm. service, you're, you know, putting your credit card on the room for incidentals. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I have to work 10 times hard because what the promoters and the people who book me at times, I can see it in their face. They think, oh, well, Drag Race don't respect her, so why should we? And that's really what happens.
Wow. Oh, see, I think you're 100% right. I think it's no secret that the queens of color have a hard time. And like, it's just, there's just no secret that that queens of color have been tokenized. And
if you look at the Black queens of Drag Race, and this is no disrespect to any of them, because we're all fierce bitches. Mm-hmm. We're fiercer than the white girls, to be honest with you. But like, if you look at the Black girls of Drag Race, it's always the same like 5-10 girls that get used. It's like, it's not like a variety. It's very rare when you see like all of us get utilized. It's like they only utilize, it's always, you know, the Monets and the Naomi Smalls, and who are great queens, mind you. I don't want to like bash them, right. But like mm-hmm. those, you know, the Latrice Royales, the Bob the Drag Queen, like they only use those queens. And me and Bob had a phone call recently, and I said to Bob, I said, I think that like they sometimes pick and choose like that with Black girls. And I don't want to come off offensive when I say this. It's because they know that you guys are going to make the mainstream, which is the white fan base, comfortable. See, a bitch like me ain't gonna make no white people comfortable because I don't care. But uh-huh. maybe a Monet Exchange will, you know, make sure mm-hmm. she knows how to like maybe float that fine line. So maybe that's why mm-hmm. they work with her and pick her for those things, because, you know, somebody come disrespect me, honey, you gonna need security, because I'm from Michigan. I'm a corn fed kid. So like, I will fight, you know. Monet might not fight. She might not fight, but I will.
So. Yeah. Whoa.
You bring up a great point. I mean, look, the gatekeepers, there's an atmosphere of whiteness that is still like at the top of every world, the queer world especially, when you look at who's holding the keys, like, oh, well, it's the white gay guys. And unfortunately, I think that trickle down is seen. And you're right. Like, some queens, I think, are like willing to code switch because they're playing the game in their own way, right?
And ain't nothing wrong with that. I want to make that very clear, honey. Because like I said, it is, and, you know, it's my one reason why I bash Drag Race and I bash World of Wonder, but I would never bash RuPaul.
Totally.
Because RuPaul has gone through so much as a Black man. And even back in 2020, a lot of people were upset and angry that he wasn't speaking up. And people were asking me. And I was like, yeah, I'm upset he's not speaking up. But I completely understand why he ain't. Because, like, he's already done enough to open the door. Now it's my turn. He gave me the platform. So now I'm going to speak up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't fault any of, like, queens of color that are, you know, working in the higher echelon of drag because, yeah, like, they got bills too. And it's probably fearful, just as fearful for them being at that level. So I don't fault them at all. I just think that my fault is honestly to just wow and Drag Race. I blame them at the end of the day. I don't blame anyone else. I blame them.
Work. I mean, look, you're 100% right. And I want to see you. Do you want to? Okay. If there's a world where they're like, you know what? We need you on the show. Will you do the show?
Yes, I would. I would do the show. The thing is that I've just, personally speaking, I've gotten some other great opportunities coming my way. You know, I just did some things with Bubbly, which is great because Bubbly actually sponsors Drag Race. So that was kind of like a good kick. but I've gotten opportunities to do some things. And so I've officially put the ball in their court. When they are ready to call me, I will be ready. They call me right now. I will be ready, but I am no longer. And I mean, I don't know how that, I don't hope this doesn't come off like I'm just giving up, but I am no longer trying to advocate for something out here and look crazy when they just, you know, I mean, like they have All-Stars winter season coming up and then they have like an international season coming up apparently. So I just, you know, I'm gonna go do me.
Yeah.
And they can do them and maybe we'll come back together at some point. I mean, I've always said that the day they do ask me though, the one thing I'm gonna ask them is what took y'all so damn long?
I think the fans agree.
Yes.
Like I have to ask that question. Like, so, and I think that, and honestly, I think that there might be some fear to that too. You know, I think that they know that they haven't treated me well. And I think that they know they kind of did me wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a fear of them even being like, we are going to have to answer to this. Cause they know that I'm not a dumb girl. Like they know that like Dita's going to ask these questions and we're going to have to answer them. So I think that there's just a lot. I think right now it's better off if we just, you know.
Yeah.
I do my thing and they do their thing. And maybe down the line, if it happens, it happens. But it's definitely not something I'm, you know, I'm letting the fans are fighting hard enough for me. So I'm letting them fight. And I'm just working. I got bills to pay, honey.
Yeah, I like the conversation you're bringing to the table. I think it's so real. Even when you look at how the show portrayed queens in your season, there are things said about queens of color that would never be allowed to be on TV
today. Oh, God, no. First of all, Michelle Visage telling me to lotion up. I honestly always say that was the beginning of like my whole like, that was the beginning of like just dealing with the racism to me, period. Because I felt like when she said that, I immediately started getting gaggles of white gay men thinking it was okay to make lotion up ashy jokes. And I don't know if y'all really know, like, to call like anybody ashy, it is like a level of class for Black people. But then if you're white and then you're calling me ashy or telling me to lotion up, it's like a trigger moment. You know, I have always said that I would have been more fine if Rue would have told me. If Rue would have been like, before you walk into my house on my runway, you need to put some lotion on them legs, girl. I would have been like, got you down because I know where that comes from. Uh-huh. But Michelle Visage is a white woman and she had no place to say that. And she's done also so many other things. You know what I mean? Sharon Needles walking around calling everybody the N-word behind the scenes and nobody in production reprimanding her. Yet she won the damn show. You know what I mean? It's just, there was a lot of that going on.
I'm speaking up about it
because, I mean, everyone knows it. I mean, this is not a secret. I think I'm just the only one willing to talk about it now because for me, I just think that it's like, I love Sharon. And don't get me wrong. I would say this to her but like you've been rewarded for bad behavior. And you would walk around and you would call me the N-word. You would call Latrice the N-word. You would call Milan and LaShawn the N-word. You would say the N-word like it was nothing wrong with it. And the only person in our season who stood up to her was Willow. And that's why I have so much respect for Willow. Because Willem understood how effed up that was. And Willem made it a thing in front of me to check Sharon one time and say, you have got to stop saying that. But no one else did. You know, no one on production did. People actually on production witnessed her saying it and they just laughed it off. But like that, would that happen today? You know, like, could you imagine if like, you know, absolutely I know that there was a whole not thing that with Elliot this past season, there was a whole thing with Elliot and he got called out about some things. Could you imagine if like Elliot would have been calling like Candy Muse the N-word? Like Candy Muse would have been ready to fight. Or calling to be she mom,
you're like, would have been removed from the show. They'd be like, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I just, she definitely wouldn't have won. So like, I don't know. I think that it, yeah, there's just, I don't know. That's why I've kind of started doing my, I'm just doing my own thing because I just think that there's some things that Drag Race and World of Wonder, they need to fix. And
beautifully said.
They just need to fix.
Beautifully said. Okay, well, we're going to talk more about this episode right after this break. Yes.
Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Okay, and we're gonna, are you ready to keep going, Miss Dita?
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that. That was incredible. I know.
No problem. I mean, I do realize, like, there are probably going to be some very mad people when I say things like, you know, but I don't care at this point. I'm just so over.
Who cares?
You know?
I think you just spoke your truth. Care.
You're right.
You know?
Yeah, I think that it just needs to, we need to, like, really nip this in the bud. I understand that people are going to be mean and catty because that's a big part of our career and our industry and our world. But the level of just disrespect, like, we shouldn't be getting this from like teenagers. Like 14-year-old girls should not be able to write. 14-year-old girls should not be able to get in my DMs and tell me that they don't like my drag. Like when they don't even, you're not even old enough to drink. Like you're not even old enough to drink. Right. You're telling me.
You've never been in front of people, you little losers. Stop it.
Like, I've never even met you. I've probably never even met you before. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
It takes, you know, no talent to be a critic. Takes no talent, you know?
Absolutely. Honey, an asshole, everyone has one.
That part. I guess, okay, so here we go. We're going to talk about this. We're starting this episode with this superlatives game.
Oh, yeah.
Which this fun trick where they get you in a room and they say, who's the stinkiest? Who smells the most like shit? And then you write down your answers.
And like Ross comes in later being like, now I've heard that there's been some real talk in the, where it's like, it was so forced for people to be like, Eureka is gassy. Like,
I felt like that. Honestly, I felt like they did that whole thing because honestly, this season, like all the girls are getting along. Like everyone is really like, there isn't really any like everyone's had like, there's been like moments where people have checked each other. Like, you know, Trinity was like, she had her moment where you're like, give me my moment or, you know, like they're like, you know, there's been moments, but like there hasn't really been like any fighting, you know, with like All Stars 4, quite when that was a whole, like there was a lot of stuff going on during that season and fighting and girls were feuding. And this season, they all really are like a sisterhood, if you ask me. And I think that they wanted to probably stir up some drama. So playing that type of game, there's a drama.
Yep. They knew the categories they were picking. You know, they knew everything. Like, moody. Who's most moody? We know who that'll be. And they will be so mad they win that one.
Well, the thing is, I love Trinity K. Bonet. I love hanging out with her. She's fun. I've gotten to know her over the past couple of years, just being a Drag Race girl and everything. But I knew she was even before Drag Race because I was a fan of her through pageants. But it was interesting when they were asking those questions. I was like, oh, Trinity is going to be picked for that. And Trinity is sensitive. She's a sensitive heart person. She's a very soft-hearted person. So I felt bad because I was like, oh, girl, you're doing good. Don't let it, like, break you, girl. Don't let it break you. You know, like, because I honestly, I want her to win.
Me too. She's my number one.
I love when she owns it, though. She's always like, shit, I was in my feelings. And then I was like, yeah, you were.
It's so gigantic. Yeah,
and honestly, that's a true queen. That's a true queen when you can like own that and you can be like, I was in my feelings are hurt or I feel bad or da-da. Like,
It was very funny and Untucked where she was like, who was the second person to vote me to go home?
That was funny.
Like, they're like, it was you. She's like, oh, like, all right. Like,
yeah. I was watching that thinking the same thing too. I was like, girl, I think it was you.
So they play that game. Here we go. Trinity's moody. Ginger could be the president. Love that. And now we're announcing the challenge is Drag Tots, where you have to create and sew something for your character. What do we think?
Mano, you're so mad at Drag Tots.
I really don't like Drag Tots. I'm sorry.
I've only watched like one or two episodes of it. It's not for me.
It's for no one, actually.
I'm like, it's not my thing. But I thought it was a fun idea. I mean, it was a branding moment, you know, like the show, it relates to the show. The girls who do the voice have been on the show. So it all made sense. I don't know. I liked it only simply because they had to create. And I think that the idea of drag queens sewing and making clothes is like, it's hard. People are trying their hardest to like discredit that. Like you don't have to. And I personally think I'm just different. I personally think a drag queen should be able to create their look. Now we all buy looks and that's fun. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. I also think you should be able to create and be artistic. You should know how to do that. And I think that's the thing I liked the most was that they got to actually sew, because Drag Race just does not have as much sewing creative challenges. It's like mainly acting and branding challenges. It's not a lot of sewing and
more.
Being creative. And what's interesting, because these type of drag queens exist still. Like if you look on social media, there are queens who literally, I saw this queen today who made this dress that was inspired by another designer. And she was talking about how many hours it took. I don't remember her name, but I thought like this is what we're talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like there are queens out here still who love to sew and there are Drag Race girls who do sew and do make their stuff. You know, Akiria, certain girls who really are creative and still have a hand in their stuff. But I'm starting to see this thing now where like, it's almost like if you make your own stuff, you're almost like discredited as a queen instead of going and spending $10,000 on a dress. And so I like that we got to see them like sew and make stuff, because if you're an all-star, you need to be able to do everything.
Yeah. I want there to be a whole season where you're not allowed to, like, you can bring wigs and shoes, but then everything, like, Or like a budget. I would win like, that I want season. A budget season.
You I would win that season down.
Yes!
I would win that season down.
Yes!
One thing I can do is budget, honey. Although I like to say I'm broken poor, because you know that's what the public likes to say. They like to say I have no money and I'm poor. So I'm broken poor. But I like to
They call it Drag Race, colon, fuck my drag. And that
okay.
So you can't bring shit. You would do so good. You always did good in the design challenges. I'm already thinking of your apocalypse look, which was sickening.
I loved that. Yeah, I loved that. That was fun. That was really fun. I remember we did that too because the zombies, and I saw the zombie with the fish wire, and I was like, I will body any of these queens right now. Get that. That's why, you know, that's why I wore UGG boots, because I was like, if we got to run, I can run. I ain't wearing heels out here. So.
It was hot. It was hot. Yeah, I mean, I think the talent in Drag Tots is great. I love all the queens involved. I love that they're, you know, queens are going to get involved in it. But I just think it just needs to be better. It's not, I don't know who it's for. Children are not going to buy WoW Presents Plus. Especially when every other show on WoW Presents Plus is like queens talking about cum. And I love that. But why are we pretending this is a kids show? Who is this for?
Yeah. No, you know, I'm always fascinated at the amount of children who know me when I'm like doing like when I do drag cons or if I go places to work and, you know, I'm going to the bar to work or the venue and it's like maybe 18 and up or 21 and up. And then there's like parents who bring their teenage girls, you know, they want to meet me outside the bar. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, drag queens, we have such dirty minds. Like, why do you set your children to the crazy stuff that we say? Like, I don't know. But I guess, you know, I guess it's just the time is different. You know, the kids are more exposed to everything now. So a drag queen is probably, we're probably like PG-13 compared to what they're really exposed to.
That part.
Right.
Have you seen Euphoria?
Okay. Just, there you go.
Just dicks. Yeah, it's interesting. I love kids being aware of queer culture. I love that. I'm here for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think queens should be censored. That's my other thing. Like, let it.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that. I agree with that. I don't think that queens should be censored. And I know that a few years ago we were having that conversation, like. Bianca's name came up about mm-hmm. that because she was making jokes and reading everybody. And I think that if you're good at it, you know, why try to fix it? You know, sometimes mm-hmm. girls tell jokes and they're not fun. Let's just make it better. But I don't think that queens should ever be censored. I think that part of our job as a drag queen, and one of the things that I always thought was amazing about doing drag was that we are like the mascots of the community. So yeah. Like we are the ones who are marching we're at the front of the picket line. And we are yelling in the police officer's face. And we are, you know, laying on the ground and refusing to move in the church. We are, you know what I mean? Like, we are the ones, I feel drag queens, we should be the ones ushering in and giving the courage to the community to stand up for themselves. And so, yeah, I get very upset when people try to say, like, oh, this queen's doing the most, or she needs to be, you know, she's being disrespectful, or this, you know, like, no. You shouldn't, no censoring of drag queens, because at the end of the day, we're the ones who are really speaking up for the community.
Right.
Well, not all of us. You know, some bitches like to be quiet, but
some bitches are too busy putting on the fucking Galliano dress they were sent
to even speak up or post a Black Lives Matter on your grid on your Instagram.
Okay.
You're going to get me started. Okay. You're going to get me started.
Okay, you know what? Oh my God. I want to talk about it. We have to talk about this later. Poor Cameron Michaels, she was very pressed about her appearance on the show. Did you guys see this?
No, I didn't.
I did.
I just feel for her. She straight up said, look, I was brought in for a cheap storyline and fuck that song.
You know the thing I think is so interesting about that though, and I had alluded to this in my stories actually, was I think it's interesting, and people, I'm just going to say this, I think it's very interesting that like, I'm speaking about the show and my experiences that I've dealt with, and I am told to shut up and stop talking. Mm-hmm. But she speaks about it. She'll still be able to work in Vegas. She'll still be able to be on the Work the World tour. Mm-hmm. She'll still be able to work with the show and get paid. They probably won't even like care that she just read them for filth. you know, she did, I saw her whole Instagram thing. And mm-hmm. so I think that that right there is just like a perfect example of like privilege, like, and not necessarily to her, but like, that's how mm-hmm. they treat, the difference between how they treat the white and black queens and the queens mm-hmm. of color compared to the white girls, because they can, if they get angry, you know, World of Wonder does them wrong, they can stand up to it. I watch them. I've watched a few of them do it yeah. and they, mm-hmm. nothing happens to them. They get to work. They get to, you know, reap the benefits of being a Drag Race girl. But when black girls do it, we literally are almost blacklisted by Drag Race in the community. So it's like crazy. But I did see that. And, you know, if she feels that way, that's her feeling. You know, you can't take that away from her. I didn't really get that vibe that she was being used for a chief storyline. But I mean, if that's how she felt, that's how she felt.
Dita, everything you said, where is the lie? There is no lie. And you're right. You can, if you have privilege, you can use it for good. Hopefully that will be a good example. I mean, hopefully she's using it for good so that queens get less and less used in that way of like, oh, your friend's going mm-hmm. home. Guess what? You get to send him home. That.
Yeah. And what, and is that, was that really? Okay. So, okay, wait a minute. Is that what, because I, and now I'm, it's now hitting me and making me like realize like, oh, maybe that was it. Like, was she, did she feel guilty that she had to send Eureka home?
I believe that's part of her frustration.
Didn't Jessica have to send Yara home?
Which they were also frustrated about. I believe these people, I think these queens are just a little annoyed to be like, oh, you brought me home, you brought me in for this moment. I see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it does, it sucks, but you know what? It's the name of the game. Like, it's just,
that's right.
Like, it's just the name of the game, and it sucks, but that's just the name of the game. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too ice cold about stuff because I just don't have any sympathy for that. You know, like, you got an opportunity to be on television and be brought back. You know, you got to add a couple $100 to your booking fee that you already probably are making a lot of. And you are beautiful costumes and great hair, human wigs, and you look expensive. So I don't really understand what the stress is. I mean, you win at the end of the day. And, you know, I don't know.
I think you're right.
And it's a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of it, you know, that was the thing I think that helped me get through like my experience of it. And even when I still think about it, was that Chad Michaels said that one day when we were filming, he said, this is a television show. Yeah. Like, this may be reality TV and this may be a competition we're in, but it's a television show.
Yeah.
Just remember that. And I remember once Chad said that, it was like, okay, it makes sense a little bit more to me. You know, it's just, but yeah, I mean, girl. Y'all be fine.
I think so too. I'll say this. I'm being a bitch, but it's like, also you're a jacked hot guy and a famous drag queen. Pump the brakes. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I feel like it might be on the same line of like, remember when Milk was on Hey Queen and she talked about kind of like how she had to check herself a little bit, like check her like kind of attitude and the way she was coming off.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Milk. What, I don't know. Maybe that's, they're the same thing, Cameron's feeling or like other people feeling. Just, you got to check the attitude a little bit because no shade, you are in a very lucky spot, girl. You know, you that work part. With all of the tours, you do a lot of the stuff. Like I can talk shit because they ain't done shit for me, but don't fuck your checkup. But at the same time, like, she is, you know, that's just the privilege that, you know, white people get to, they get to say anything they want to say. That's just
work.
What it is. So.
Work.
Yeah, holy shit.
Work. So Rue is in the workroom. She's here to poke around. She's so good at it. Ginger's doing a Southern Belle character. I kind of wanted Ginger to do something a little different. I was like, you do this a lot, Tara Belle. But it was cute. Thoughts.
Well, it was very like for Ginger. I felt like Ginger was. I liked what she gave, and I kind of felt what she was given because I think Ginger was like, I'm just gonna play this moment safe. Like I know I can play this character. I can amp this up. I'm sure she has probably watched Drag Tots before. So like, you know what I mean? Like I think she kind of knew what, like she could play this and be a little safe with it. You know?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I actually have to say this. I've always liked Ginger Minj. I liked her even before Drag Race was a thing. I would see her at Miss Continental always compete. She's a phenomenal queen. She has a great voice and she sings live. But I have loved her so much this season. I've loved watching her on this season. I don't know. I feel like it's a more softer side of her. Because she has to have a tough exterior because you're the bigger girl. The fandom mm-hmm. also is not nice to the big girls too. So, mm-hmm. you know, like, and she's an opinionated big girl too. So like, you know, she's had to have her own kind of like armor on too. And I feel like this season we've been able to see a softer side of her. So I felt like what she gave was may have been a little safe, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah, I liked it. And it is, it's, it's such a challenge that's like, wait, what are we doing? and we're going to like have a story, but not lip sync to it, but also get noted on not lip syncing to it good enough. I don't know. It was a little just be safe, have fun, do whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And I think she, you know, they're getting to the point where like they're getting down to the wire. I mean, we're about to count as winners soon. So I think Ginger, and she's done this before. So I think she was like, you know what? I remember this part. And I'm I'm going to play that game right now just to get me at least into the final, whatever. And then when everybody has to hashtag Team Ginger or whatever, then she can, you know,
Go ham. I like seeing her relaxed. I mean, girl has cucumbers on her eyes because she's like, I'm good. Like, she's like, my talent is sickening. I've also seen her live and was blown out of my socks. Just being like, you are all talent.
No, she's such a great drag queen. And she's extremely like, I feel the same way about Eureka too, is that I love the fact that Eureka's a big, you know, she's a big person, but I love her clothes always fit her well. And I think the same thing with Ginger. I like that Ginger always like has really great tailoring with her clothes. Like that white gown she wore with the fringe on her season, her original season.
Yeah.
She had that like white fringy gown with the big, I love that. Like she looked sexy, you know, like, you know, and I feel like that's like, once again, like how, what black queens, we deal with our own thing. I think the big girls don't always get the credit. Like, why have we not had a big winner yet? Like, it's just crazy.
Right. Goofy.
Right.
I thought Ginger could have won season 7. Me and Betsy, I'm going to say we wanted Ginger to win. No, two.
I thought she was going to win too. I thought she was honestly going to win too.
That damn Violet
came with her fashion, though. She
that
fashion.
Beautiful bitch.
Dude. No, and now gorgeous. She can like swing on ropes and stuff. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was talking about her the other day, randomly, because we were just talking about Drag Race girls. And they were talking about how they saw her perform one time. And they were like, have you ever seen her perform? And I said, no, actually. I think I maybe saw her one time, like briefly. But I didn't watch it. But I would love to see her perform. I think her shows and I think her aesthetic, I think she's fierce, you know?
She's
the one girl I always say, like, can walk around and be mean and have an attitude. Because look at her. She's fierce. Like, you know?
She
can back it up. Like, she can actually back it up. And like yeah. You know?
Yeah. Please make fun of me. You're so cool.
Me and Betsy have seen her live. She fucks the room up. Like she takes you to that gay plane of like wonder where you're like, you're in your own episode of Gay as Folk. And
it's beautiful. The stuff I'm seeing is just gorgeous. The aerial stuff and
that.
The costume and the burlesque. Yeah, I'm gonna have to I know she's doing a tour soon. I saw her online. So maybe if she comes to Chicago, I'll go see her, reach to her and say, I don't know her all that well. Like I see her here and there briefly. We're not like best friends, but we see each other. We always say hi. So maybe I'll reach out to her and be like, I want to come see your show.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
She's incredible. It's a funny name. The tour is a funny name too. Like, hi, it's me. Or something like that.
I love it.
It's so good.
Okay, Queen Semen. Raja avoids Queen Semen. Rue's obsessed with Mexicatessen. And Eureka's rolling around on the ground.
I did like that part a lot.
Loved it. The edit Eureka gets this episode is just adorable. Like, she's just lovable.
Yes.
I sobbed kind of for her when she was talking about, like, not always being a... always being a bridesmaid, not being a bride. Because I think she's a very polished, really. I think she's a little a little misunderstood. You know, don't get me wrong. She extra. Eureka got her extraness. I think she's like slightly also misunderstood, and I think you got to see a little bit of vulnerability of why she is so like big and loud and boisterous because. The sensitivity in her is real, and you saw it. You saw how she really felt, and I think she deep down knew she was getting eliminated because she hadn't won, and everyone knows that. Like, if you don't win any challenge, I mean, that was my situation. I had gotten so far, but I hadn't won any challenges my season, so I knew I was like, I'm going home. Like, Yeah, you know, I didn't. I actually could have won that acting challenge, but I think that
the acting one.
No, that I should have won that acting challenge, but they gave it to Latrice because they wanted to make the full circle moment with her and Marge the guard, and she was in prison and all of that.
Yeah,
she's even told me, Latrice is even in the past. She's like, you won that challenge. And I'm like, I did.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I love her. Well, you were also, I have to say, you were fucking funny as Wendy Williams. You did the first Wendy.
Yes.
Yes, right. Of course, darling. We were in the front row with that, with the romper room fuckery, as they like.
That was like, it's such a fun snatch game. Ooh. The good is good and the bad is wild.
It was so intense. I can't even explain to y'all how intense it was. It was, first of all, it's you know, RuPaul has like a presence about him that, like, for me, so my whole thing is like, whenever we were filming, I just tried to like behave myself. So I never tried to do any extra shit around him because I know he has to get out these lines. He has to like do his thing. And it's also like, he wants to get in, get his job done, and then we can get our challenge started. So it's like a time thing. So whenever he was around, and even now, like, I don't be doing extra shit. I just stand, you know, when he comes up for like the ribbon cuttings at DragCon, I'm just like, I just stand here, let's get it done and over with, so I can go to the booth and go get my money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't try to get in his way, you know what I mean? And I don't try to be a friend with him or anything like that. You know, I try to just behave myself. But that, watching him and seeing how angry he was getting, I was like, I could tell he was getting very angry and upset with
a lot of
behavior. Where he
says, calm your ass down, Beyonce.
Yes. I specifically, clearly remember him saying that because I looked at him and I was like, oh my God. Okay. So I was like, RuPaul's mad, so here we go.
So you're saying Beyonce doesn't fart on people? Is that what you're saying?
She fell out of a chair. She was farting. She was whipping. And I was like, girl, like, that is not my Beyonce.
No.
I love Kenya. Shout out to Kenya, honey.
I love Kenya.
She should be on the show
living her,
too.
She's living her best life right now. She was actually in Pulse when everything happened at Pulse. And from what I've heard from the grapevine, that's actually the last time she performed because she was in the dressing room when everything went down. So she hasn't really performed since then. She's, you know, but I follow her online. I love watching her. She does a lot of photo shoots and she's so beautiful.
She's unbelievably beautiful.
When she walked in, I will never forget. She walked in and we were all like, well,
fuck my life.
Okay, you know who the pretty girl is this season.
Yeah. Like, yep.
None of us. We all lost that one, girl.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You're like, just give me the fucking makeup wipe. What are we doing?
Oh, my God. Yeah, now I remember even at the time her makeup was something so different from what we were all doing because we were all asking her for makeup tips, you know, she would... Yeah, no, we were asking her for makeup tips and then sometimes she would be playing with, you know, makeup with like, you know, Jiggly or Fifi or somebody and I would come and, you know, watch them play and makeup and stuff. And yeah, no, Kenya's a fabulous makeup artist.
I bet. Well, we're going to chirp and burp the runways and talk about that lip sync. But first,
chirp and burp.
Silence. I feel like taking another break.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me de-crap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go! Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
My break. Okay, we're back. Here you are with Miss Gorgeous Dida Ritz. I'm going to share my screen so you can look at these stunning, stunning little runways. I can get your all's opinions on them, and we can chirp and burp them. What do you say?
I love it.
Okay, so what is chirp is good and burp is bad?
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
That's exactly it. And since we're the only drag race podcast available on the internet, we have to, or else, you know, no one else will be able to know like how people feel about these looks.
Right.
Absolutely.
What did you feel about Rue dancing on and her catwalk, by the way?
I loved it.
It was cute.
I like when she does anything different than the norm on that runway. So yes. I think I haven't, because I, to be honest with you, I had to stop watching Down Under because of the whole Scarlett Adams situation. It pissed me off. But she did a runway look where she had like boots and a jacket, like very 90s looking.
Uh-huh.
It was like a leotard with like...
Oh, yes, yes.
I was like, okay, I'm here for that. That's very Banji of you, Rue. So I like when she just does anything different than the long traditional what we see her look like, Mama Rue. Like, I like when she has fun, or she roller skated one time down the runway.
Yes.
I love that. Fun. Like, I like when she does that type of stuff, because it's just, it is, you know, the walk, you can only do so much with the walk and the gown.
Right.
So I even like that we see her in short stuff, because Rue has fabulous legs. So I like when we see her in shorter stuff. I like when she wears pants. I love when she has a purse with her at one point. I think one time she had a purse with her.
Yeah, no.
RuPaul's a bad bitch, honey. You got to give her props. Even if you don't always like what she does, you got to give her props, because she's the queen of drag. She is the queen of drag. So yeah.
Period. Clearly. She's gorgeous, and she gets hotter. Every year.
Man. How do we do that?
That's a good glam squad. Shout out to the glam squad.
So we have Miss Trinity as Furleisha.
Love it. Chirp.
I'm going to chirp it. I love how unique the makeup is.
I chirped that, yeah. I love the makeup. Sorry.
No, you go. You're the expert.
Okay, sorry. I sometimes feel like I'm talking way too much. Sorry.
No, more.
I liked this. I liked the makeup. I liked Trinity. I also love Trinity, all her makeup she's done the runway. It's been really, really fun. Hold on. Are you? Okay, there we go. I loved the makeup. I loved the ears. I loved the whole fur bottom. I love the color she used. I love how she even, when she was, what is it? When they were doing the voiceover and she was on stage, basically like doing all of the moments of, you know, like the flourishing and all that. I love how she even did that. You know, Trinity is an artist, honey. I'm telling you, crown it right now.
With you. I love the character too, where it's like, yeah, go big, be a cat. Like, and it's
I loved it.
So great.
The jokes were funny. No. Yes. The full noodle looked awesome.
Oh
my God, yeah, that tail was amazing.
Incredible.
I love that it worked. Yeah, okay, big old chirp. I love this color scheme. And she changes her face so much.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Okay, we agree. It's a chirp.
Yeah,
I love it.
She's another good makeup artist too.
She's so good.
Oh, I did want her to bring that yarn ball on stage.
As soon as that was like revealed, I was like, no, play with it the whole time. It's so funny.
Ginger Minge as Tara Bell.
Tara Bell.
It's like an indigo pink Southern Belle moment, yeah?
Yeah, I'll chirp it.
I love the color blue. Mm-hmm. I liked it. It was cute, the umbrella or the parcel or whatever you want to call that. I like that. And I liked her hair color too. I like that Ginger is very, she's very like stuck on being a redhead. It's very rare when you see her in other colors. I love that she is a Ginger. I love that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it always works. Like, I feel she's never called out for that. I'm like, you're wearing the same, like, because it always looks really good.
But her hair, she has. I always am impressed by her hair. Her hair is always very coiffed and laid, and it's always big and teased. It's very drag.
Yes. Yeah.
She looks good, and she takes notes. I do think her makeup is even better than in season 7.
I agree. absolutely agree.
And her face, she always gives amazing face.
Yeah, her performance to her voiceover thing is great.
Yeah. My only thing is, it's a chirp for sure. I want her to do a big, dumb, ugly character because I love when she does big, dumb, ugly characters. Like in the commercial where she's like, "Hi, my name's Steve." I was like, I kind of want her to do an ugly character. But
or like when they did, remember her season, they did the whole Divine and she did the eggs.
Yes.
I was I'm living that she did that. Cause you gotta like really go to a different place to like, mm-hmm. I mean, to channel anything divine, first of all. But like, you have to go to a whole nother place to even do something like what she was doing with them eggs and all that.
Seriously. Raja, love this look. Raja.
So this was my favorite. This was actually my favorite runway of the night.
It was incredible.
So good.
I loved Raja on her season. I love Raja. I've worked with her before. She's such a fun girl. But I am in love with how she is just being portrayed this season. Mm-hmm. And I love that, like, she is, like, being shown as, like, I love she's talking about, like, where all that was her season and, like, how she is now and, like, I don't know. And I love that she's like, she's making it so far in the competition. Like, if Trinity don't win, Raja better win.
Yeah.
That part.
Yeah.
Agree.
You know, like, I am just very impressed with how Raja, and Raja also, you can tell, I think she said that on Twitter, she had like a budget. She really didn't have a lot of money to spend going to All Stars.
Wow. The way she can whip shit out, because you see her like pulling out this shit and just like making these insane new silhouettes every time.
God, crazy. She's so mm-hmm. mad.
Yeah, I no, she's her. A seamstress. I believe she makes a lot of her own stuff, too.
Yep.
God, that's so cool. She just also brings such a good energy and has this whole season of just, like, having fun, but also, yeah, like, willing to talk about how she's, like, grown. I don't know. I love her so much. I just, yeah, she's been a real delight.
What does she do? She always does that. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Tell
oh,
the shirt.
Oh, my God. Oh.
She changed the name.
Every time she does that, I'm like, girl, that is, I love that. I love when she does that.
And her talking head interviews are so funny constantly. Like, oh, she rules. She rules.
She kicks ass. She chirps. I love her little eyeball glasses, too. I caught that, like, the second time around.
Eyeball glasses.
Cool. I want those.
So cool.
And she had like, eyeballs on her hands, too, like, on her palms, too, which yes. I thought was really cool, too.
Oh, so she's so
rad.
Cool. And you know what? You're right. Like, the storyline she's given on her original season is, unfortunately, I'm sorry, but it's very classic that they give these kind of storylines to queens of color, where they're like, wow, she's an asshole. Whereas, like, a lot of times the same queen, if they happen to be white, they'll be like, wow, she's sassy.
She's sassy and she's diva and we love it. You know. And I also think that people like have to understand, like, that also does come from like literally like the like disenfranchising, if that's a word I can use, and like mm-hmm. also like lack of resources, because queens of color always tend to get least access to resources before white mm-hmm. queens do. Yeah. You know, there are designers that I would love to work with, but I know for a fact that a white queen is going to take priority over me just because she's white. And that's just how it is, you know, because the designer knows, well, if I have this white queen wearing my stuff, I'll get more business than if I have this black. And that's just, uh-huh. and that's literally, that's just the politics of
that's
it.
A so. Fact.
Yeah, really so no, I love fact. That she's like this. I love it's a shitty fact. But you know, that's why I'm here to tell the truth, honey. Yeah. But I'm happy that Raj is just being shown in a more softer light and like people can see, like, you know, she's a good girl. She's a very nice person. I've worked with her before. She's really funny. Actually, I was shocked how quiet she was when I worked with her. She was just in the dressing room, minding her business, you know.
Mm-hmm. Ah, she rules.
Love it.
Rules.
So yes, I loved this. This was cute.
Such a chirp. Such a chirp.
Such. So now we have Miss Eureka coming out as Alexandria McQueen, giving you very Snow White's witch moment.
Yes.
Or Snow White's queen, I should say. It's cute. I like it. I kind of wanted a little difference of patterns, but I really liked it.
I liked it.
I wish she would have had. I liked it too. I thought it was like very cute. It looked like a character, definitely. Uh-huh. I wish she would have just had a long cape.
Oh, that sounds good.
Like, imagine if she just would have walked out on that stage with all those trees and all that decor and that town, and she just would have had a gigantic long cape.
With like a black lining, and that would have like,
yes,
shown off the silhouette even more.
Yes.
Like she just could have been standing, and she could have literally, I feel like that grandness of it all could have like, because compared to like, the thing is, you have to split hairs because everyone's looks were beards. But if you have to like start splitting hairs, Eureka's look is a little more simple than the rest of theirs. It's not as much construction. It's not complicated to construct that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas like Trinity's was complicated to construct. Raja's was complicated to construct. And even like Ginger's with how she did the whole peekaroo thing on the bottom and the ruching and all that. Like, you know, Eureka had more of a simple design. It was effective though, but it just was more simple.
I agree.
I do like how she immediately is like, hello, doo-doo heads. Like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah, it's still a chirp. But yeah, I think that's a really great point. Like, and especially because Eureka usually goes there. Eureka usually gets crazy shit where you're like, whoa.
Beach ball swimsuit, hello. Like,
right.
I think the beach ball swimsuit and the pop art have been my favorite runways that she has done this season. I thought that pop art was just so like, that was amazing to see on her. The colors, the makeup, the look of it all, her face all over it. And it was like, and everybody, you know, everyone did kind of like their faces on stuff. Like some people did, but like, I liked hers the most. And like, like I said, like the beach boss went, oh my God, like, hello, like fabulous. So yeah, no, this was very slim down for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I guess finally, Miss Kylie, Sonique Love, giving you Witch as Miss Behave. Thoughts?
Witch. I like it. Chirp.
I do.
Oh, it was a chirp for me.
I do too. At first I was like, is it plain? But then you're like, you get into the details and you're like, the bow is fierce. Oh. The top is fierce.
Even just how it moved.
It did her amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked very animated, the way that it moved on her, and the fit. It was so, like, how it cuts perfectly on her shoulders, and that bow in the back, and then how that witch hat is, like, perfect with that. I don't even like spiders, but I loved how she did that. And then her, and the hair.
The hair is great.
Like, the only color you see on that garment is the hair, or on her is the hair. And I love that. Like, the blonde hair. If she would have done black hair, I feel like the black hair would have been boring. Any other color of hair would have been boring. I love that short, choppy, witchy vibe. It really worked. It was like, it was very high fashion.
It really was. And it was a unique silhouette for her, which was like even better.
Well, yes, she was covered. Because, you know, we used to see in that body.
That body on naughty.
Right.
So, you know, she's ass and titties all day. I love it.
I do too. She's really stunning.
Jerps so, all the way. This, it's so hot. Like, this season has been a lot of just like, oh man, everyone's so good. I'm just rooting for
no, it's literally like, I mean, you're splitting hairs every week when I watch it. That's all I think. I'm like, at this point, like, everyone's just splitting hairs because, like, there isn't really anyone bringing any, like, any terrible, like, runways or even, like, you know, there's maybe a little few mistakes that are made in challenges and things like that. But, you know, for the most part, I'm here for the looks. And I'm also here for the sisterhood. I'm here for, like, showing that Drag Race girls can all get along and that we don't have to necessarily be killing each other for a dollar.
Yeah.
Right. It is so nice. Everybody's just rooting for each other.
It kicks ass. Mm-hmm. And it's nice that we don't need a villain this season. It's just like, in fact, the biggest villain this season was Jan because she was happy. I'm like, okay, I'm okay with that.
Okay, I have to say this really quickly because this is something I have just noticed. Uh-huh. And the only one who notices this with Jan. They love to really play with that girl's emotions on that show.
I know.
So like they'll have her looking like Leah Michele, like perfect, you know, like, you know, like, I am the pretty geek, I'm here. And it's like, this thing, fall in love with her. And then on the next minute, they have her looking like cocky, like, I'm going to win the challenge. I want to rule the world. And then face crack. And then they turn her for a minute and have her sobbing and crying.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel so bad for how they be messing with that girl's emotions sometimes. Because trust me, some of them girls, you know, there's maybe a few girls that maybe could deserve that in the franchise, but no, I don't think Jen's harmless. Like, she really is harmless.
Yep.
She just want to do drag and be happy. That's all it is. She ain't bad, you know.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny that, like, if that's the biggest thing you can materialize, it's like, it's a pretty flimsy narrative.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, and Jen is very, like, what I call, like, she's one of those, like, set drag queens. Like, she just has her aesthetic, and that's what she does. And she doesn't really veer that far from it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think the farthest we've ever seen her maybe is when she did, like, the pincushion look on her runway. Mm-hmm. Like, that was kind of like, okay, that was like, oh, that was, I didn't expect that. But, yeah, that was, you know, fine. What I mean? Like, she has her niche, and she sticks with it. And I respect that for her. I really respect that about her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she's great. And her grandmother will fuck you up. Her grandmother was.
Yes. Yeah, apparently her grandmother.
So we get the lip sync.
Maybe I need to call her grandmother.
You, there you go.
You should.
Oh my God.
Please do that. Please call
her. If you listen to this, how your grandmother called her at Drag Race, tell them to get their stuff together and finally give a bitch a chance for one.
Grandma Jan becomes like the great queen who unionizes the queens.
Yeah. Love it. Look how far the world has come.
I know.
So grandmothers are fighting for drag queens.
So we do end with this lip sync. Cameron Michaels, Raja wins. God bless. She could send anyone home. We know she's not going to pull any stunts. That is not the kind of girl she is. But what do we think about this lip sync? Why was it only fine?
It's a hard song, I feel, to, like, really go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt that this lip sync was a little, like, I want to make sure I use the right word and be really, I don't want to be nice, but, like, be respectful. It was a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
It was a little underwhelming, and I think that, you know, sometimes you can tell, like, you can tell a queen's genre of music that they know well. Mm-hmm. And then you can also tell, like, a song that, like, okay, like, I have to do this song. You know what I mean? Like, I know the words. I know the words. I know the beat. But I don't necessarily know the embodiment. You know, I can do Beyonce, but I can also do Lady Gaga. But I would have to give you Gaga than if I did Beyonce. So, yeah. I don't know. I felt like it wasn't a song that maybe something like Raja would perform. But Raja was like really trying her hardest. And then Cameron, I mean, just looked stunning in that outfit. She looked really fierce. But she was like playing with her coat. And they kind of, I don't know. It was just really weirdly edited too. Like, I didn't really. I don't know. This is underwhelming. It was very underwhelming.
Yeah.
They love to edit too much. And they edit too much. And like, can I just see the damn performance and decide for myself?
Well, you know what I wish that they always did? I just wish they would just do a split screen and have the camera follow.
Thank you.
Yes, I do. I do too.
Just literally do a split screen and then just have the camera follow and the people go back and forth to Rue and his expressions and then go back to the split screen. Like that. I just think that that's what it should be. Even like go into a four screen and then you can have different angles on the stage so that you really see stuff.
Yes.
Like, honey, I told you, I'm a brilliant bitch now.
I love it. Yeah, well, Cameron wins this one. Here we go. Eureka goes home. But it's finally fucking time for the game within a game.
I've been waiting. I can't wait till they drop that first little act. You know, they love to drop the little first act on YouTube. I can't wait till they drop that. I'm about to have to check that out. That's going to be good. That's going to be face crack. Face crack.
It's so cruel that it's at the top four. It's like, it's good TV, but it is so mean that, like, what? We're at the top four. You couldn't do this at the top eight?
Yeah.
You can see see on Trinity's face preview that she is just not happy. And I, you know, obviously being like, obviously you're like Drag Race girls, like they talk, we all talk about it, you know? And sometimes I like to just mute everything out because I want to just find out with everyone else. Like I learned my season. I was spoiled to everything. So I didn't really have any, like, it was not fun for me to watch it because I already knew kind of what was going on. But I briefly, you know, I briefly talked to Trinity like a little bit about it. And yeah, she was like, I was so mad, Dita. I was like, I'm sure. And then and watching it, I'm like, oh, she looks mad. She looks mad.
She was in Chicago.
She was in Chicago, like, I think like 2 weeks ago. And we hung out after like we both did our gigs. And yeah, we were talking about it. And she was like, I was so mad, Dita. I was like, I bet. She told me some other stuff too, but you know, you gotta wait and watch that. I ain't about to spoil
that part. Yes. Well, I can't wait. Ooh, I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
Damn. Well, that's all she wrote for right now. We're gonna drop all of your links and places people can find you in the pod description. But tell us right now, how can we support you? Where can we Venmo you? How can we support Dita?
Oh my God. Okay. So you can find me on Instagram, which is Dita Swag. You can find me on Twitter, The Real Dita Swag. It is no secret. I am really not a social media girl. I really am private. Like personally, if it was up to me, I would just be private in my house. Like y'all would see me, you would have to see me on stage. I'm very old school. I'm very private that way. But
yes,
those are the two social media. Do like focus on. I'm actually working on a YouTube channel right now and I've been filming content and you know, just my life. And I've had my friend Reza, who's been helping me film around and just do stuff. So a YouTube channel is coming very, very soon once I have enough content edited. And I feel it is nerve wracking putting this type of stuff out there. So once I feel like I'm not going to have a panic attack and I have enough content where I can like give you guys a lot, I don't want to just post a channel and then be having y'all like waiting with one video. You know, I want to give you some stuff. So that's coming very soon. And then I have 8x10s that I'm selling, which are on my Instagram. Usually you DM me and then it's very simple. It's very grassroots. You DM me, I will give you all the information on how you can get that. But I have 8x10s and enamel pens. And my Venmo is Dita-Ritz. And yes, I always appreciate Venmos. I appreciate those random
Tip
Venmos. That really
queen.
Is beautiful.
Ooh,
yes, I love
Tip
that.
A queen.
I love a random Venmo, and I get them. I really appreciate them a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lot. Give the queen like, a fucking dollar.
This is like amazing. People send you like randomly $100 or, you know, like, and you're just like, hey, like, you know, like you want to like almost blow, but then, you know, times are hard right now. Not every drag queen is that lucky. And I've had to take a step back and even with like certain things, I think about that, you know, like,
right.
You know, just not throwing my blessings and the things that I, you know, I really think about that because there are a lot of drag queens really like struggling out here right now with the pandemic still going on, and drag queens lost all their gigs, or drag queens who finally were starting to get their footing, but then the pandemic slowed them down, and then it completely, you know, they quit. Now they're started from the beginning. And yeah, you know, and I try my hardest to, you know, when queens are in town, you know, introduce them to managers and, you know, tell the managers at the bars I work at, like, hey, I met this queen, you should book her, at least give her a chance. If she sucks, you know, you at least giving her a chance. Like,
yeah.
So I'm really just trying to, you know, if you're listening and you're coming to Chicago and you want to look for places to perform, well, reach out to me. If you're, you know, an entertainer, you know, king or queen, you know, Chicago, we like them all here. We like kings, queens, everything in between.
Yeah, that's amazing. So nice.
Dita, you're fucking amazing. I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your story, sharing the truth about what it's like to be a performer and still being magical, inspirational, funny, charming. I mean, you are the best, and thank you so much.
What a dream.
Oh no, thank you. I'm finally happy we finally got to do this. And
yes.
You know, I don't really do a lot of podcast interviews because I have the gift of gab, so we could be on here for hours talking. And also, I get very, you know, I'm such an expressive person and I'm really passionate about my job. You know, I always want to make sure that I'm saying, when I say like bash or honest things, I wanted to make sure that people understand it comes from my heart. It's not coming from any other place of me being hateful or petty. It's really me just telling my story and hoping that the next, I always say that I don't want the next Black, Asian, Puerto Rican, Latino, like, you know, bigger queen. I don't want them to go through any of that stuff that I've had to go through. And if I at least can stand up and show them, like, you can do it too, you know, like, I want entertainers just to stand up for themselves, like, stand up for what they really believe in. If you believe in your flowers, get your flowers, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because right now we are in a pandemic and literally we could just die tomorrow and, like, you ain't got your flowers. Like, you know what I mean? And that's always my biggest fear. That's always one of my biggest fears as an entertainer. You know, like, I want to be able to do as much as I can while I'm here and I'm alive and I'm well and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Ooh, yeah. I just got so inspired. Holy shit.
You are amazing. Thank you, everyone. If you like what you heard, follow us on Instagram at Drag Her Podcast. Give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast reviews. They really make a difference. And go support Dita Ritz and POC queens everywhere. That's it. Till next time. Bye, bitches.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.